Let's Take This Outside with Marianne Iveson, the podcast where she speaks to athletes, outdoor professionals, and scientists about why they connect with nature.
Mike Shorman is the first person with a disability to cross all five Great Lakes, as well as an inspiring public speaker. When Hope Breaks Through is a film exploring the Canadian mental health crisis by following Mike's journey. Mike's crusade became one of the largest mental health awareness campaigns led by an individual in Canadian history. This athlete and advocate is now educating and motivating audiences to achieve their own excellence through his keynotes focused on mental health resilience, perseverance, and drive. Please welcome Mike Shorman.
Mike Shorman, thank you so much for joining me on Let's Take This Outside. We're already having a blast, so I'm like, I'm going to hit record.
Go for it.
I'm the worst, and I'm sure you've heard this before, but how many people have pointed out the irony of your last name being Shorman?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I was a little bit surprised with the amount of media coverage and media attention that there wasn't more playing with the words. But my dad tells me every time he sees me, you know, you owe me a lot of money for that name with what you've gone and done with it. And so, people say it all the time. It makes me laugh every time I hear it.
Okay. I was like, I'm going to start this conversation this way and he's going to hate me for this, but I'm going to try it anyway. You have one of the most inspiring stories I've ever heard. And I was like, I have to talk to this man. You said yes right away. Paddleboarding is your sport. But before we dive deep into your story, this is terrible. It's full of dad jokes.
It's deep, not shallow.
Because your story is quite serious. So I should probably stop making jokes. Okay, Mike, where did paddleboarding and water sports begin for you?
So paddleboarding began for me in Toronto. I took it up as a hobby and, you know, you just go out and you think you're going to go and learn something new and you just fall in love with it. And that's what I did with paddleboarding. I think, you know, the falling off and the climbing back up, and people don't always like to wipe out while they're paddleboarding, but I loved it because I just thought it was fun. And you know, over time it just developed and I realized that what I was doing at the time, I was working in marketing and public relations, and I wanted to share my love of the sport with others. And, you know, I worked in PR in events, special events, and creating experiences for people with different brands. And I thought, no, I want to create experiences for people with paddleboarding. And so I built up a business in Toronto and certified with Paddle Canada as an advanced flat water instructor just outside of Chelsea, Quebec.
Yeah, that's really close to me. I was there this morning swimming in Meech Lake. So yeah, so you know exactly it's a perfect place to get certified, right?
Yeah.
Were you an athlete otherwise, or was this kind of just like a fun thing that you wanted to try? And
I don't think so.
Says the guy who just paddleboarded all across the five Great Lakes. But
no, I'm just some guy. No, I think I always liked to do sports as a kid. You know, my sister was in basketball. She was in OFSA. And, you know, I played hockey when I was very young. I wasn't very good at it. I wasn't competitive swimming.
So you were comfortable in the water?
Yeah, I was the water baby in the family. I did karate and I did very well in karate. I went to the World Juniors.
Okay, so you were an athlete. Just so humble.
Well, no. I was very good in independent sports. You know, I was always encouraged by my parents to do these things, and some of the things I really took to, but I really always loved being in water. And I think that kind of led me down the road to building up a business around that.
In 2018, you received this devastating diagnosis from doctors. It's called Ramsey-Hunt syndrome. I do want to know what Ramsey-Hunt is, but did you just feel off and then it got worse? Like, what did that period of your life look like and how did that change your life?
Right. So Ramsey-Hunt syndrome is a neurological condition. Essentially what it is it's your chicken pox reactivating in your body. Chickenpox lays dormant in your system, and it's brought on by stress. And when that happens, it's called shingles. And tons of people get shingles. But when shingles specifically attacks your eye or your ear, it's classified as Ramsey-Hunt syndrome, and it can be dangerous. It can be a mild thing. It can be a severe thing. In my case, it was very severe. Mayor Olivia Chow from Toronto, she had a very mild case many years ago. Justin Bieber had a case last summer. And in 2018, it hit me. So right now, as I'm speaking to you, I have tinnitus, and it's like the ocean's ringing in my ear. And if I used to do this a lot in interviews, I felt like I had to demonstrate what it was, but vertigo is a big part of my condition. And I used to be like, oh, when I go like this, when I like turn my head from side to side, I get really dizzy. So I try not to, I don't feel the need to, I don't have to show people that anymore.
So you have vertigo, tinnitus. And so even today, you still, of course, have symptoms.
Yeah. And then I have vision obstruction on this side and hearing impairments. It attacked my, so my smile is asymmetrical right now. It's not symmetrical. It's healed mostly, but I have a crooked smile. All the nerves on my face just dropped like I'd had a stroke, and just exhausting pain. They say that the pain is comparable to having both of your kneecaps blown out at the same time. And that was in my ear. And then by the end of the fifth day, because it was attached to my vestibular system with my ear, I'd lost my sense of balance, your equilibrium. So I went from being athletic to not being able to walk. And it was a very scary experience because, you know, you're going along one day and everything's fine. I'd actually just been in California. I was setting up a business partnership so that I'd be teaching paddleboarding here 6 months a year, and that I'd be in California the other 6 months, hopefully. And I'd just come home, and this happened days after. And all of a sudden, you know, it changes your life, and the business was gone. Suddenly, my parents were, you know, bathing me while I was wearing a swimsuit and helping me wash my hair. And I remember being in the bathtub, and, you know, you'd go back to rinse out your hair, but because of the vertigo, it's like you're constantly moving in your head. You come up and you're sick, and then you just have to do it all over again. It was just exhausting. It was a really hard year.
How old were you at that point?
Oh, I was an old man. I was just a couple of years ago. I was 35. A
few years. And so, you know, physically you're describing this, but your mental health, I couldn't imagine what that devastation.
You know, the first thing that we really notice in the morning is our own reflection. You know, we go to the bathroom, we brush our teeth, we wash our face, we look up, there's the mirror, and there's you looking back. And when your face is not looking like it normally is, and you don't recognize the person who has been looking back at you for, you know, the last, you know, how many years, it's devastating. And it's part of your identity and part of your makeup. I didn't recognize who, what I looked like. I didn't recognize even what I sounded like, you know, what I was projecting confidence wise with other people, or my independence. My social life went from like this to this, and it was just like an all of a sudden loss of identity, and that really rocked me mentally.
So how do you go from that to crossing the five Great Lakes? Like, I'm assuming years of recovery, I'm assuming wanting to come back and do the thing that you like existed for years. Like, I'm assuming it was a lot of layers of that.
Yeah. So the first year was really a lot of physical rehabilitation. I was using a cane to walk for most of it, and retraining my brain ways to walk in a straight line, because it was like I was staggering when I was walking. So we had to reprogram my brain. And even when I started physiotherapy, they said, we've never worked with somebody who has this. So there aren't any promises, or we're not going to go there. But anyways, we started, you know, working towards that. And about 5 months after, 6 months after that happened, I stopped using the cane. And that was around the time that I went in for mental health treatment and started processing what I was going through. And from that gave me a lot of confidence. It's kind of like you get a small win and then you just leverage that for your next win. And then you take that one and then you leverage that one with yourself for next ones, you know, just incremental win building. And I remember I was with some friends with paddle boards and they said, do you want to give it a try? Well, I've been told by doctors at this point, you know, this isn't going to happen. Like just being on a paddle board is going to make you sick. And they said, you know, the vertigo part of, you know, being on water, anything that moves, like an unpaved surface, anything, it's going to make you ill. And anyways, I said, yes. And I lasted like 3 minutes sitting down, but it was enough. It was enough. You know, I fell inspired and hopeful. And like, this was potentially the beginning of something. And it did. It made me sick for a few days. But it also gave me confidence to call up a friend with some paddle boards and say, the next week, you know, could we try going for 5 minutes? And we did that all summer. We went from like 3 to 5 to 7, 10. And then by the end of July, I stood up for a few minutes.
There's so much persistence. I'm so proud. Like, I don't, you know, we just met, but I'm just like so proud of you. Like, that's so great.
I used to teach in front of the Toronto skyline in the harbor. And that first time that I stood up was right in front of the CN Tower where I used to teach at sunset. And it was I knew that I was going to try to stand up that day. And I knew, you know, falling with vertigo underwater is very disorienting. You know, I've been walking along in Toronto and I've had to grab hold of buildings because it feels like everything's shaking. So the fear of falling in the water and being disoriented, now that was always part of what I was thinking. But, you know, standing up at sunset in front of the CN Tower, I was like, okay, we've done it. We've got something here. Right? We can do this. And around that time, just things kept on happening. I shared the story. A friend of mine invited me. She said, you know, have you ever thought about public speaking? And I thought, no. Like, I gave a graduation speech once in college, and I literally thanked and said something nice about every member of the graduating class. Like, public speaking is not for me. And she said, no, I think you have a story about getting knocked off a horse or a paddleboard and climbing back on. And I think you should tell it. I'm going to send you some information to this thing. And it turned out to be North America's largest inspirational speaking competition. And I didn't realize what it was. And I'm really glad I didn't know, because I probably wouldn't have said yes if I had. But they said, yes, we want this story. And, you know, tie in a universal message. And, you know, these are all TEDx speakers and authors and people who speak for a living. But I've got all this time. I'm at home recovering. So I can write a good speech. And, you know, hopefully, you know, out of 300 people, maybe if three people like it and two of them are my parents, that's good. Anyways, that speech won that night. And then it just started getting, it went viral on all these different platforms, you know, Power Positivity and Jay Shetty and Ashton Kutcher shared it on his platform. It got millions of views and it just kind of birthed something new. And kind of a transition. And from that, you know, I spoke about my mental health journey within that talk. And from that, there came a lot of media attention. And I contacted, you know, different mental health organizations. And I just said, you know, can you take this? Can you use this? How can I help you? Because I went through a mental health experience. And if this can help you in any way, let's do that. And that led to partnering with Jack.org, which is Canada's national youth mental health charity, and several other mental health and disability organizations across Canada. And then the Lake Crossings became part of that endeavor.
Hi, I'm Steve Yerko.
And I'm Tara Sands. Now available from Maji Media is our new podcast, 4Kids Flashback. 4Kids is the company who brought you the English dub of Pokemon in the late 90s and so many other shows like Yu-Gi-Oh!, Shaman King, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Kirby, the infamous One Piece dub, and so many more.
We'll be talking to the people who worked at 4Kids. Actors, directors, writers, editors, producers, engineers, you get the point. And hopefully get the answers to questions both you and I have about the company.
I actually worked there as a voice actor on some of the shows.
And I was a kid watching the shows and remember way more than Tara does.
And thank God for that. Steve is actually a professional storyboard artist, which gives some really unique insights into anime and animation. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. That's the number 4 Kids Flashback.
Let's Take This Outside now has a newsletter. Keep up to date with outdoor news, events, and great discount codes and deals from our partners. Sign up today at letstakethisoutside.ca.
So you teamed up to create the documentary. Like, it all kind of came together at once, and you're like, okay, I guess we're filming this. I got to do it. Was that what happened?
So in 2021, I tried to get across Lake Ontario, and I made it about halfway.
Still good. It's a pretty big lake. Did pretty good. Yeah.
They're like little oceans. But no, I worked on that campaign while I was home recovering still. Like I was preparing for this thing, but this is a chronic condition. And that year, you know, 2020 leading up to 2021, I was still, you know, physically struggling, but I was like, no, I am going to go do this thing. And so I built up the campaign. And it was a successful campaign. Like, we raised a lot of funds and we raised a lot of awareness, but the weather changed while we were out there and I didn't meet my personal goal, which was heartbreaking. When you don't achieve something that you set out to do, you just kind of, you know, think about it and not dwell on it, but think about what you would do differently. And what went wrong and what could go right. And, you know, having that experience, you know, it just kind of made me go crazy. And I came back and said I was going to do all the lakes.
Like, I made it halfway. I'm doing all of them. It's almost like you did it out of spite.
I know. I think when I announced that, I think everybody was like, yeah, okay. Like, it was, I was a bit annoyed. I was a bit annoyed. To be brutally honest, at the very beginning, just the response, it took a while for the Canadian media to kind of pick up. And I was just kind of, where are they? Where is everybody? This is for kids. But they did, like, they did come, but I was a little bit impatient. But I think, you know, when you say, yeah, I'm going to cross all the Great Lakes and I'm going to do it back to back, I think everybody's like, yeah, okay. But yeah, no, it was, it just developed into this thing. And around, it started in, the first crossing was of Lake Erie, and that was May of 2022. And I think I met Matt Wagner. Matt's the director of the film. I think I met Matt in late February, early March. And he knew what I was doing. We talked about it and. It's crazy. He's got 3 young kids, like 3, 7, 9. He lives in Michigan. He had to talk about it with his wife. What I learned with the first crossing attempt, I remember that. We set that. We were going August 24th, 2021, like good weather or bad weather. And it turned while we were out there. So one of the things that we learned was, each lake has to have a weather window of about 7 to 10 days. You're in that location waiting for the optimal time to go. So this, you know, involved him being away from his kids and from him being away from home. And his wife said, no, you've got to go do this. Like, you've got to go. And I'll always be very grateful to Brooke for saying that. And he built just this beautiful, you know, he covered it. And put out all the video content of that campaign. But he also spent hours and hours and hours of filming everything that happened. And then on the other side of that, we started building up, You know, this was about basically a mental health awareness campaign. And then we went out and got the meat of the documentary, which are the interviews. So I contacted, you know, Michael Landsberg from TSN, and he's the founder of Sick Not Weak. And I wrote all the questions that I thought people would find interesting and that were mental health related. And then we talked to Liz Braun. She wrote about my story for the Toronto Sun and the National Post. And we interviewed her, and I actually was left part of that because I didn't want, you know, she already reported on me. I didn't want her. I don't want that, but Matt did most of that one. And then the director of CAMH and Talk Suicide Canada. And we built out this film on the mental health crisis. And it's kind of disguised as a paddleboarding adventure film. But really what it does, I hope, is that it makes us think about our relationships with our own mental health. And maybe lets those who are watching feel less alone or isolated. The factual information that is in the film is really quite interesting. It's devastating what comes out when they're talking about the statistics, and you're like, oh, and so at times it's very heavy, but it's a beautifully shot film, and he's done a great job.
Something that comes up a lot in this podcast is the connection between mental health and being outside and doing something that you love outside. So what is it about paddling, connecting to the water, the open sky, the sunset for you, you know, watching the sunset, the CN Tower? Was that part of your healing journey? And how much of it would you attribute, if you could give like a percentage?
Oh, definitely. I remember, you know, in the very, very early days of what I was going through, you know, I was at home. My parents were looking after me, but they were still going to work. And they'd call and they'd say, how are you doing? And I'd say, I'm fine. And I wasn't fine, but I'd say I'm fine. And I was spiraling. And it was the beginning of a big crash. And following that, that was the time, you know, where I got the confidence to start going outside. And, you know, I didn't even want people to look at my face the way that it was at the time. You know, kids would point and laugh in the grocery store or say, you know, what's wrong with that man's face? And you know, that's devastating. But it gave me confidence to be outside and to go out and be near water. And the more that I did it, the more I began to see parts of the old me return again.
Crossing the five Great Lakes. I grew up in Southern Ontario, near like Windsor area. So I know the Great Lakes. And like you had mentioned, it's kind of like crossing the ocean. You know, I remember we go to the lake and we'd be able to like, you know, if it was a really, really clear day, you could like see like Ohio, like in the distance, like you'd really have to squint. But I'm just trying to picture that kind of, it's not just a mental feat, that is a physical feat. So obviously you have someone filming, but like, what does it take to, other than planning the weather windows, what does it take to plan something like that physically, both training / like what else could go wrong?
Well, people who are about to watch this film are about to watch a medical emergency in the middle of Lake Huron.
They're unforgiving lakes. They are unforgiving.
They are. I had a medical emergency in the middle of the night. That was a 29-hour crossing. I don't know about you, but when I go in a pool or put my feet in the bathtub or any kind of water, after a while, they prune. And imagine doing that for 29 hours. So there was a big situation that we had to navigate. There was a situation with a missing safety boat where we had one booked and it fell through. We put out a call. We were in Michigan at the time, crossing over to Goderich. And we were calling people in Indiana. Like it was crazy. Like, does anybody have a boat? And finally, we just realized, well, we're going to Goderich. Why don't we just call Goderich and see if they have a boat? And we met this amazing, amazing guy. And he's a big part of the story. But no, just the training, the physical training was in the gym every day. I was at the gym when it opened at 6 a.m. I was back in the gym in the evening. I was on the water in January on Lake Ontario while there was snow and ice. We crossed Lake Erie as the first one because it was the shortest of all five. So we thought, let's go for the good win first. It'll give me some confidence, and then we'll jump to the bigger ones. And for that crossing, I remember like every 30 minutes they were blowing a whistle, and I'd come over to the support boat and they'd give me, you know, some apple or pepperette or croissant, I don't know. And we realized from that how much it was slowing us down by me consuming actual food. And we realized that the amount of energy and fuel that, you know, was leaving my body, you know, it wouldn't be enough for the big ones. So they moved me on to a liquid diet. So I moved on to, instead of half an hour feedings of food, my team would blow a whistle and I'd come over and I'd take a shake of carbohydrate powder. But I was taking in thousands and thousands of carbs, you know, 25 liters of water. But no, it was a lot of people doing, you know, people who would make those shakes who were on those boats, drivers, not just one driver, sometimes multiple drivers, because when you're crossing a lake for that amount of time, you know, I'm exhausted, but the driver can't be exhausted. So they have to take shifts sleeping. And then just support crew of people who are leaning off the back of the boat, you know, sometimes talking to me, sometimes playing games with me. Yeah, just trying to keep my spirits up as much as possible.
Where can people watch When Hope Breaks Through and support mental health charities you support? Because it sounds like you're on a bit of a tour.
Yeah, so the film will premiere in Toronto at the 18th annual Calm Film Festival.
Wow!
At the St. Lawrence Center for the Performing Arts. So it's 500 of my closest friends.
So cool.
So that happens on September 15th, and then it just tours. So right now, we found out yesterday, we're in the Boston Film Festival. It's one of the biggest in the States. 38th annual. So cool. I'm looking at the sheet, and I'm like, there's a picture of Ben Affleck and George Clooney and
Mike Sherman. Yeah.
It's crazy. So right now we know all of September's dates. This will tour through the festival circuit for kind of the next 18 months.
Are you coming to Ottawa?
I'm hoping that we will get to Ottawa at some point. Right now, September looks like Toronto, Sault Ste. Marie, Sudbury, Moncton, New Brunswick, then to Boston, then to Grand Rapids, Michigan, and then ending the month in Los Angeles. And then we tailor kind of those dates, you know, colleges, high schools, organizations, corporate groups are kind of contacted around those times that I'm going to be in those locations.
And all I wrote for this last question was the book, because you have a book coming up. Can we confirm that?
Yeah, so the book, we can confirm that, yeah.
Can we talk about the name? Do we know what the name is? Do we?
So we're kind of playing around with Coming Ashore.
Yes! 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 We're using it. We're using Shore.
Yeah.
Yes, we are. Sorry. I just got really excited. Okay.
Michelle Obama's book, you know, Becoming. I like the coming of, you know, becoming something or, you know, making it too. And I feel kind of like, you know, I've come out of the darkness. So while the film is, you know, this is all kind of, it's on the mental health crisis, but it follows my journey through the lens of the filmmaker. The book is my lens. And it's how I see the mental health crisis. It's how I see how Canadians show up, how Canadian media and government show up. It would be a little bit more on the serious side. We're hoping for next May.
Well, if I can guarantee anything, this conversation was at least 50% serious. So
just a little bit.
Just one more question. How are you feeling now?
How am I feeling now? Like physically, mentally?
Physically, mentally, like maybe not in like this moment, but like overall, like how are you? Not like post-interview.
After spending time with you today, physically, I feel good. It's a day-to-day thing, definitely. Whenever the barometric pressure changes, I'm affected. So I could be, and I just have to, I did a presentation last week at a school board and I had to go on stage in front of 200 people and I wasn't feeling my best self. If you go out and you give 30% and you only have 30% to give, then you've given 100%. So that's how I view it. But no, overall, I would say I feel really good mentally. I feel refreshed. I've taken some time off this summer, you know, to prep for all of this. And physically, I feel good and looking forward to, you know, the fall and sharing this with people and enjoying all of it.
Well, hopefully I'll get to see When Hope Breaks Through on the tour. Can't wait for the book. I will put everything I can in the show notes. Mike Shorman, thank you so much for hanging out with me. This is super fun.
No, thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for listening. For more Let's Take This Outside, go to letstakethisoutside.ca.
Do, Did, Will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.
Produced and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.